It's time for us to begin our class. Let's go ahead and get to our places, and we'll begin. There is a new handout. It'll be the last one on the book of Deuteronomy in the back there. It's called The Final Words of Moses. I have a few up here. If you want to pick one up afterwards. Tonight we're going to finish up The Future of Israel. And start there. Finish to 29, 30, and 31 tonight. And then we'll finish up the rest of Deuteronomy next week, or probably doubt we finish it next week, because I'm hoping there's going to be some discussion, because I found some pretty good questions to ask you. So I think there's one that's going to take some discussion on, and I may have a little extra handout on that one itself. But there's some good lessons in every one of these we've been doing so far. So again, tonight, we did the questions last week, so we'll just take some time to talk about and to do some reading to emphasize the lessons that Moses had for the children of Israel, and of course the lessons that apply to us. We'll look at some New Testament verses also. Yeah, if you went ahead and turn in your Bible to chapter 29, we'll be reading some passages from there in just a few moments. Again, thank everyone for being here. We've started our work, big time work on the VBS. We'll call it decorations at this point. In other words, the things that are going in the classroom, in the hallway, about each subject that we're going to be studying. So we're going to make an announcement later on when I do the announcements before class. I mean, before service, last part of the service. And then Sunday I'm doing announcements too. We're going to try to keep our kids out of the classroom for the next after services, before services, and that sort of thing. I've showed them a room they can use, okay? So we're going to try that. That way the things that they're working on won't get torn down or run into or busted or whatever you want to call it. Because they're kids. They're 4s, 5s, and 6-year-old kids, 7-year-old kids, and they just do what kids do. And accidents happen sometimes. And we just want to make sure that all the work that goes into all these things, and there's been a lot of work done so far, and going to be more work done in the next few days. And so that's what we're looking forward to for a good VBS. And there's some more VBS announcements out there on the tables out front. Some are in color, some are in black and white, whichever one you want to take and give out. But it's coming together slowly but surely. Tomorrow's going to be a big day. We've got a lot of projects to work on tomorrow too. So if you don't have anything else to do and you're off tomorrow, you can come up and help. We got to make some paper. We got to get some paper plates and make some stuff tomorrow. So, and I know there's some other things to do too. If you'll bow with me, we're going to have a word of prayer. Our dearest God and Father in heaven, we're grateful unto you for all your blessings and all your love and goodness. We're thankful, Father, for Jesus and the blessings we have in him. We're thankful, Father, for your Spirit, which guided men to write down the words that were given to them, that guided us to have the Word of God continue. We're thankful, Father, that we can read it and study it and understand it, and that we can learn from it, and we can use it as our guide for everyday living, and we can use it to help us establish our relationships with you and with one another. We're so thankful, Father, for the blessings that we have. We're grateful, Father, as a congregation of our members. We pray, Father, for those who have cancers that they're dealing with. We pray for them that you'll help them and that the surgeries will go well for them and that the healing will take place. We're thankful, Father, for all the things you've done for us in the past, and we pray for that continued watch, care, and protection over us. We pray all this in the name of Christ our Savior. Amen. If you have your handout from last week, that's fine. If you don't, we're just going to read some things there. We're going to start here in chapter 29. We're going to start in verse 10 here in just a moment. Just to think, a couple of things I want to say. It says, we see Moses bringing his message to a close here, and we were reminded again of Israel's relationship with God. If obedience alone is the path of life, if death is the only alternative, if all Israel's future hangs in the balance, then choose life. That's one of the passages we're fixing to read. And that's in chapter 30 and verse 15 through 20. And we'll be reading that here in just a moment. But I want to begin here in chapter 29. We're going to read verses 10 through 20. So if you'll bear with me. It says, chapter 29, verse 10 of Deuteronomy. You are standing today, all of you, before the Lord your God, the heads of your tribes, your elders and your officers, all the men of Israel, your little ones, your wives, and the sojourner who is in your camp, for the one who chops your wood to the one who draws your water. so that you may enter into the sworn covenant of the Lord your God, which the Lord your God is making with you today, that he may establish you today as his people, and that he may be your God, as he promised you and as he swore to your fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. It is not with you alone that I am making this sworn covenant, but with whoever is standing here with us today before the Lord our God, and with whoever is not here today. You know how we lived in the land of Egypt, how we came through the midst of the nations through which you passed, how you have seen their detestable things, their idols of wood and stone, of silver and gold, which were among them. Beware lest there be among you a man or a woman or clan or tribe whose heart is turning away today from the Lord your God to go and serve the gods of those nations. Beware lest there be among you a root bearing poisonous and bitter fruit, one who, when he hears the words of this sworn covenant, blesses himself in his heart, saying, I shall be safe, though I walk in the stubbornness of my heart. This will lead to the sweeping away of moist and dry alike. The Lord will not be willing to forgive him, but rather the anger of the Lord and his jealousy will smoke against this man, that man, and the curses written in the book will settle upon him, and the Lord will blot out his name from under heaven. You know, starts out being so nice, doesn't he? Talking about how nice things are, how good things are. And then he reminds them, you're not going to be faithful to the Lord. You're going to worship those other gods. Exactly what he's told you from the very beginning there when they came out of Egypt, when he gave the Ten Commandments. You shall have no other gods before me. And he knows that's what's going to happen. He knows they're going to do that. This is what Deuteronomy is about, really. Telling them not to do this, but even though he knows they're going to. But I wanted to read that passage to set the tone for what we're going to be looking at tonight. When we look at chapter 30, we're going to read verses 11 through 20 there also, pretty much the same thing. And see what he's talking about. He gives us a different perspective. And basically he gives us a few things to contemplate. Chapter 30, verse 11. For this commandment that I command you today is not too hard for you. Neither is it far off. It is not in heaven that you should say, who will ascend to heaven for us and bring it to us, that we may hear it and do it? Neither is it beyond the sea that you should say, who will go over the sea for us and bring it to us, that we may hear it and do it? But the word is very near you. It is in your mouth and in your heart so that you can do it. See, I've set before you today life and good, death and evil. If you obey the commandments of the Lord your God, then I command you today by loving the Lord your God, by walking in his ways, by keeping his commandments and his statutes and his rules. Then you shall live and multiply, and the Lord your God will bless you in the land that you're entering to take possession of it. But if your hearts turn away, and you will not hear, but are drawn away to worship other gods and serve them, I declare to you today that you shall surely perish. You shall not live long in the land that you are going over the Jordan to enter and possess. I call heaven and earth to witness against you today that I have set before you life and death, blessing and curse. Therefore, choose life, that you and your offspring or your children may live, loving the Lord your God, obeying his voice, holding fast to him, for he is your life and length of days, that you may dwell in the land that the Lord swore to your fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give them. Are those passages the same thing? The one in 29 and the one here? Pretty much, they're set up the same. They say different words. Different words are used. But they're saying good things if you obey God and follow him. If you don't, bad things. And we just went through the chapters on we heard all the blessings and the cursings. We just went through all that, leading us up to these two chapters toward the end of Moses' exhortations to them. You know, just like God has been warning them and exhorting them, and more Moses, through Moses has been exhorting them to do what's right, to follow God. The only thing that stands in the way of Israel doing right is Israel itself. Them thinking that they can do this on their own. thinking they don't need God, setting Him aside, setting His laws aside, and trudging out on their own. God has provided the way of the future in this last promise to Abraham, that all nations would be blessed through Jesus Christ, the Son of God. That's what we need to hold on to. That's what He was trying to let them understand, that what you have now is nothing compared to what you can have in the future. You're going to give this promised land. You're going to go into this land. If you obey God, He'll protect you. He will guide you. He will fight your battles for you, or help you fight your battles. But you have to be His people. You're entering into a relationship with God as His people, His covenant people. Chapter 29, the first 15 verses there, talks about Israel's past and describes how Israel is now renewing. We talked about, we read that He's now renewing their covenant with them, whoever's here, whoever's not here. It's the same covenant I renewed with your fathers. I'm renewing it again with you. A special promise. He's saying, you follow my commandments, my statutes, my laws. I will do my part. I will protect you. I will guide you. I will lead you. I'll do my part if you'll do your part. Sadly, Israel fails to do their part. That's what happens as we go through this. He talks about, and also in chapter 29, reminds them of having God's promises and being exalted above the other nations because of what God has done for you. There in chapter 29, verse 13, can lead to a temptation. They're going to think a little bit more of themselves than they should. Reminds me of a passage in Romans chapter 12. Turn over there. We're going to be in Romans a couple of times tonight, so don't leave it too far away. Romans chapter 12 for this first one. I'm going to start in verse 3. I read through 8. Gifts, he calls it gifts of grace. Starting in verse 3 of Romans 12. By the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. For as in one body we have many members, and the members do not all have the same function, so we, though many, are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another, having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let us use them, if prophecy in proportion to our faith, if service in our serving, the one who teaches in his teaching, the one who exhorts in his exhortation, the one who leads with zeal, the one who does acts of mercy with cheerfulness. Talking about not getting too caught up in ourselves, but in doing God's will. That it's not us that does it, it's with God that we do it. You know, we read in chapter 30 about, he talked about the Word. He says, it's not far away, it's very near you, it's in your heart. I think he uses the word in your heart, in your mouth. We choose another verse here in Romans, but this time in chapter 10. Romans chapter 10 reminds me of this. Romans 10 and 10 says, with the heart one believes and is justified, and with the mouth one confesses and is saved. The idea that the things we do with our hearts, the things we do with our mouth, are important, just like he told them there. You remember that we use that phrase, the Lord has not given you a heart to perceive and eyes to see and ears to hear this day, but he had given them that and they just refused to do it. But now he was opening up their eyes, or trying to open up their eyes and their ears and their mouths and their hearts, to understand what it meant to obey God and take Him seriously in that sense. So there in chapter 30, we read some of it in Deuteronomy. Let's go back over there. There in chapter 30, one of the best passages out of the whole book, I think. He said, the word is this. I'm going to start in verse 14. We've already read this, I know. But for the word is very near you. It is in your mouth and in your heart, so that you can do it. You see, I have set before you today life and good, death and evil. You contrast. If you obey the commandments of the Lord that I command you today by loving the Lord your God, by walking in his ways, by keeping his commandments and his statutes and his rules, then you shall live and multiply. And the Lord will bless you in the land you're entering to take possession. And he talks about what if you don't happen. If you go in there and you turn away with your hearts drawn to worship other gods, you shall perish. You shall not live long in that land. He says, I'm going to give it, we have a witness. Heaven and earth are going to witness against you today that I've set before you. You've got a choice. Life or death, blessing or cursing. What does he tell them to do? What's the obvious choice? Choose life. So what does that result in? That results in blessing, doesn't it? Okay? He says, choose life. Loving the Lord, how do you do that? By loving the Lord your God, obeying his voice, and holding fast to him. For he is your life and length of days. What did Jesus have to say about some of these things? Do you remember? It's part of one of those I am phrases. In John chapter 14, if you want to turn over there. Basically, Jesus says this. He point blank tells us what this is about. The fulfillment of this scripture. Chapter 14. Jesus said to him, in talking about, we'll just start in chapter 14, verse 1. Let not your heart be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. And you know the way to where I am going. And Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way? Jesus said to him, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. When I read this is the verse that popped into my head when I was reading through this very first time. When God says choose life, what's he telling us? Choose Jesus. Because he is the way, the truth, and the life. When God told the children of Israel, they had a choice, just like you and I have a choice. Any other choice besides Jesus, besides serving God and serving his son and doing his will, what is the result? It's death, because it separates us from God. Sin separates us from God. The book of Isaiah tells us that in different ways. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's what chapter 30 is saying too. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Exactly. John says it a little bit differently in the short epistles there in the gospel. If you love me, you'll keep my commandments. It's pure and simple. You know, we got to love God. We got to keep his commandments. And that's what he told the children of Israel. We read that, I think, last time. You got to love God and love his commandments and obey his commandments. You got to do that. If you don't do that, then, you know, you've chosen death. Really what it comes down to. So, the point Moses is trying to make and the point the Holy Spirit's trying to make, the point God's trying to make is we need a relationship with God. We need a relationship with his son. We can't live without those relationships. What we're doing, if we don't have those relationships, we're not living. We're just going through the motion. You know, the idea that... As I call it, did you know all that when you first started, when I said we're going to study Deuteronomy? Did you ever put that together, that Deuteronomy was going to teach you that? Did you ever think about that? Did you ever think about what Deuteronomy is teaching us? I'm continually amazed, and we're going to be amazed again next week, I'll say that too, with some things that we're going to see in those last few, in Moses' song, okay? His final song, his final words. We're going to see all that and see some things that I should not only help us to, you know, conclude Deuteronomy, but should help us look forward to what we're going to be looking at in the rest of our Hebrew study on Sunday. you won't. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That's okay. That's okay. I want to look at a couple other things before we get through. I told you last week we were going to look at circumcision of the heart, and that's where I'm headed. We just got to mention a few other things. The idea that Moses predicts about God can restore them back. You know, that's part of the future plans. God's, if they fall away, God will restore them back. You know, reminds me of the book of Nehemiah, where Nehemiah sets about restoring the walls of Jerusalem, trying to redo the temple. But even then, and they never really finished that restoration. They got distracted again. They never really were able to finish that. Look over in the book of Galatians, chapter 3. Galatians chapter 3. As you can see, we're trying to just give this some relationship to the New Testament or the New Covenant. Let's start in Galatians chapter 3. We'll start in verse 7. Going to read down through about 15 or 14, something like that. Galatians chapter 3. Know then that it is those of faith who are sons of Abraham. And the Scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, preached the gospel beforehand to Abraham, saying, in you shall all the nations be blessed. So then those who are of faith are blessed along with Abraham, the man of faith. For all who rely on works of the law are under a curse. For it is written, cursed be everyone who does not abide by all things written in the book of the law and do them. Now it is evident that no one is justified before God by the law. For the righteous shall live by faith. But the law is not of faith, rather the one who does them shall live by them. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law, by becoming a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who is hanged on a tree, so that in Christ Jesus the blessings of Abraham might come to the Gentiles, so that he might receive the promised Spirit through faith. You know, you read this, and you think about this great promise to us that Paul is declaring here. We're all Gentiles. We are children of Abraham by adoption, if you want to call it that, by our faith. As he called Abraham the father of the faithful or the man of faith, you know, different things. If it wasn't for the faith of Abraham, the promises would never have been given. Think about that. That's how much God respected and honored Abraham. He promised a physical blessings with a land where they were going to go and live in, hopefully live in peace if they did what they were told to do, and be a great people, and they were. The ultimate promise for them and for us was Jesus. And this passage just beautifully points that out. So when we look at the words in Deuteronomy and the lessons there, we cannot help but look to Jesus. We don't have a choice. It's where it takes us. It's where it leads us to. When we think about what Abraham did for us, so to speak, with his faith, we cannot deny that we all need to strive to be like Abraham. Jesse's lesson the other night, he was talking about, he mentioned Philip. Sunday night, he mentioned Philip. When Philip was one of those chosen there in Acts chapter, I think it's Acts chapter 7 or 6, 5, anyway. One of those first chosen, we call it to be like an office of a deacon type thing, or a servant, special servant for the church there in Jerusalem. But he went on to be a faithful preacher of the gospel. But when the Spirit called him and told him, you go over here on this road and you visit with this guy in this chariot and see what you can do for him, so to speak. Philip went, didn't he? How much like Abraham is Philip? God called Abraham out of the home of his ancestors and said, I want you to go to a different place. You're going to live in a tent. You're going to do what I tell you to do. Philip had faith like Abraham did. He got up and went. Abraham got up and went and let God lead him. And we're all the beneficiary of that. We're the beneficiary of Abraham's faith. And we cannot deny how much and how important that is. Deuteronomy chapter 29 and verse 4 talks about them to circumcise their hearts. We're going to talk about that for just a few minutes. Any other questions or comments? Yeah, Clint, sorry. Yeah. Yep. Exactly. That's good. Yeah. Yeah, God's love never ends, never changes. You remember that covenant relationship? That's a covenant from two ways. The covenant says, you know, God's going to be their God. He's going to protect them. He promises that. He gave an oath for that as part of that covenant. But the covenant breakers were the children of Israel. They were supposed to obey him and follow him and do what he said, and they broke the covenant because they didn't do that. But God's love's still there, still trying to restore. And that's one of the things we're going to look at too. Talks about, like I said, Deuteronomy 29 in verse 4 talks about the circumcision of the heart, and he's asking the children of Israel to do that. Even in Jeremiah chapter 4 and verse 4, and chapter 9 and 26, this is probably 500 years later, still asking them to circumcise, the children of Israel to circumcise their hearts. Let's read some passages in the New Testament about this, and I think will help us understand what we need to do with circumcision, so to speak, and circumcising our hearts. We're going to start in Acts chapter 7. Of course, this is I call it the Stephen chapter. This is what Stephen says about the Jews there who are fixing to stone him to death. In chapter 7, verse 51. You stiff-necked people, uncircumcised in heart and ears, you always resist the Holy Spirit as your fathers did, so do you. Which of the prophets did your fathers not persecute? And they killed those who announced beforehand the coming of the righteous one, whom you have now betrayed and murdered. You who received the law as delivered by angels and did not keep it. That's Stephen's words to the Jews. They still hadn't circumcised their heart. Look over in Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2, starting in verse 8. It says, Colossians 2 and verse 8, see to it that no one takes you captive by philosophy and empty deceit, according to human tradition, according to the elemental spirits of the world, and not according to Christ. For in him the whole fullness of deity dwells bodily. And you have been filled in him who is the head of all rule and authority. In him also were you circumcised with a circumcision made without hands, but putting off a body of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, having been buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised with him through faith in the powerful working of God, who raised him from the dead. In you, who were dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made alive together with him, having forgiven us all our trespasses, by canceling the record of debt that stood against us with its legal demands. This he set aside, nailing it to the cross. He disarmed the rulers and authorities and put them to open shame by triumphing over them in him. That's a hard word to say. Triumphing. Anyway. One last passage on this subject. And we can talk about anything you want to about that anyway. Turn to the book of Romans, chapter 2. I think the Colossians passage tells us a whole lot. I think this one will do us a little bit more. Could be reading, I think this, let me make sure. We'll start in verse 17. We'll probably read through the end of the chapter. But if you call yourself a Jew and rely on the law and boast in God and know his will and approve what is excellent because you're instructed from the law, and if you are sure that you yourselves are a guide to the blind, a light to those who are in darkness, an instructor of the foolish, a teacher of children, having in the law the embodiment of knowledge and truth, you then who teach others, do you not teach yourself? While you preach against stealing, do you steal? You who say that one must not commit adultery, do you commit adultery? You who abhor idols, do you rob temples? You who boast in the law, dishonor God by breaking the law. For it is, as it is written, the name of God is blasphemed among the Gentiles because of you. For circumcision indeed is of value if you obey the law. But if you break the law, your circumcision becomes uncircumcision. If a man who is uncircumcised keeps the precepts of the law, will not his uncircumcision be regarded as circumcision? Then he who is physically uncircumcised but keeps the law will condemn you who have written the code and circumcision but break the law. For no one is a Jew who is merely one outwardly, nor is circumcision outward and physical. But a Jew is one inwardly, and circumcision is a matter of the heart by the Spirit, not by the letter. His praise is not from man, but from God. So even the Jews here in the time of Paul there in Rome still hadn't done what they were told to do there in Deuteronomy with circumcising their hearts. Still hadn't done it. Didn't do it in the time of Jeremiah. Didn't do it here in the New Testament in the time of Jesus, in the time of Paul. Still didn't do that. What does that tell us about our hearts and how we should circumcise our hearts? I think the passage in Colossians told us how we can do that and how important it is. But the idea of the fact that it was commanded to the Jews in the book of Deuteronomy and in the law itself, but they still never did what they were told about that. And it's throughout the history. When we think about... any questions or comments on that? I know there may be some. It's one of those things, you know, we don't talk about circumcision, and there's reasons why, but the circumcision of the heart is really what the heart is, the heart of the matter. Okay, I'll do the pun. Because really, circumcision took place in the time of Abraham before the law was ever given. So it was not a part. Circumcision was not a part of the law, but the Jews had mixed and mingled it all together, and he was still trying to say, you try to do all these things, but you're not doing what God told you to do. And I think that's important, the lesson for us to learn about that. What does obedience give us? It gives us a relationship with God. What did it give the Jews? It gave them a relationship with God, didn't it? That's what he was telling them. Those three chapters, chapter 30 especially. If you want a relationship with God, you've got to obey him. So what does all this history that we've been studying about here in Deuteronomy, of the Israel, what does it teach us? God is faithful. That's one of the lessons I think is one of the most important ones. We tried to hint about it a couple of times tonight, but the idea of the fact that God made a promise and He always keeps His promises. But what about their failures? What about their failures? Continually warned by Moses, continually warned by the prophets throughout their history. But yet, continually disobey. Yeah, exactly. And you know, there's so much stuff on the world doesn't still see the Jews as God's chosen people. They broke the covenant. There's no covenant relationship with the Jews anymore between God. That covenant relationship is through Jesus Christ now. It's not just with the Jews, it's with everybody. And the world has got, as I call it, they've had this stigma for the longest time. And, we're not going to talk all that stuff because it gets political if we do that. But the Bible teaches us different. They were God's chosen people, but they broke that covenant, not God. And, you know, God's still trying to reconcile them back to Him, but it has to be through Jesus. Yeah, Clint. Yeah, that's the real reconciliation. That's where the circumcision. We read that. What was that? Was in Colossians there? That verse, I call it, just tells us a whole lot about our relationship with God. How do we get that relationship? Colossians 2, important verse there for us to remember. Any other questions or comments? They're fixing to ring the buzzer. So, all right. Next week, we'll open up our final lesson. Cover the last of the chapters. We'll talk about Moses' song in his final message and the transferring of, I call it, of duties from Moses to Joshua after Moses' death. We won't have much to say about that because mostly entitled in the book of Joshua. Thanks again for your attention and your cooperation.